The TNT Shop has great gift ideas for your furry family member. And we don't mean your Aunt Dolores.
You stink!
The TNT Shop has it all. At TNTRadio.live.
Let me introduce to you
Locked and Loaded with Rick Mudd on today's News Talk TNT Radio.
Yep, we're motoring on as we do here on the good ship TNT. I suppose I should have said sailing on through the turbulent seas of life. It's Tuesday, the 20th of March, 2023. We're almost into April. The first quarter of the year is behind us. The 28th of March, we're almost into April. Sorry about this, my head's a little bit fried this morning, but it's all good. This is Locked and Loaded, this is TNT Radio, I'm Rick Bunn, and we are live. I'm going to be joined in about 15 minutes or so by Roger Tattersall. Love that guy to bits, Rog, tall bloke. Fun fact, he is 6 feet 8 inches tall of pure Yorkshireman in his bare feet. When he's wearing his party heels, he's over 7 feet tall. Yes, and I've seen pictures of him in a tutu, and believe me, it is highly disturbing. And I hope he doesn't fall out with me about that one. I'm going to be talking to Darren in a minute, just to keep you posted on some other things that are happening. I'm sure we'll be expanding on these further through the week. It's just so much happening at the minute. Time is our enemy when it comes to covering everything. Humza Yousaf succeeds Nicola Sturgeon. As SNP leader. Of course he does. Who else would they have in that position? You know, after that legitimate public vote that didn't happen, how was he selected? Who only knows? But let's just say, Scotland, you thought Nippy Nicola was bad. You've just jumped out of the frying pan and into the fire. That's the way it works. You'll be begging for Nicola to come back by the end of your, Nicola, we're so sorry. We didn't mean to call you Nippy. We didn't mean to call you Jimmy Cranky. Please, Nicola, please come back. That's what's going to happen. Humza is bad news. That's all I'm going to say right now. Certain COVID vaccines might treble the risk of sudden cardiac death in women under 30. Official data shows. Who's reporting that? The extreme right alt-media? No, the Daily Mail. Who would have thought certain COVID vaccines might treble the risk of sudden cardiac death in women under 30? Bit late to run that story now, Daily Mail. Bit late to call for a halt to the vaccine program when nobody else actually wants to take the jab anymore. The damage has been done. Lastly, transgender woman, 54, who was convicted of rape in 98 when she was a man, is jailed for 9 years for stabbing another trans woman trying to tie her to a chair with tights. I can't even begin to process that. The only thing I can see is this monstrous looking dude. It's a horror. It looks like something out of a horror movie, and they're calling him a woman. Zara Jade slashed her victim. If you've seen Zara Jade, believe me, you would run a mile whether or not he had a knife or not. You just know this guy's got the old thousand-yard stare. But again, the media reporting on men as women. For as long as they're doing that, they're going to keep this going. But anyway, we are live. We are locked and we are loaded. Just to make you aware that we're also on social media. If you use that, if you use that thing called social media, we're on Twitter, we're on Getter, we're on Gab, we're on all the social media platforms, Instagram, Facebook, and we're also streaming live on YouTube and all the other streaming platforms, and of course via our app, which is tntradio.live. And from that app, you can do all sorts of things. You can check out past episodes, other shows, see who's on the roster of presenters. Rasta man, made of Bob Marley. Buffalo Soldier in the heart of America. You can tell I'm very random today. It helps me deal with the BS. So you might get more Bob tunes. I shot the sheriff. And by the way, Eric Clapton did a better version than Bob Marley of that recorded. But Bob Marley's live version of that is absolutely fantastic. Murray's nodding in agreement. Anyway, this is TNT Radio. We'll be back in a second.
Breaking news heard here.
It's around the clock update.
Today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
Okay, German strikes, French shutting down the oil refineries, mega strikes, critical oil refineries grinding to a halt. Just another day in the life, isn't it, really, on planet Earth? Nothing to see here. Let's move along, Darren. What do you reckon?
We did say at the beginning of the year that it would be 2023. We'd see a lot of social unrest, we'd see a lot of protests, see a lot of strikes. And that is exactly what is materializing. Now, how organic or how real they are remains to be seen. But yeah, there was a mega strike. It was discussed briefly or mentioned briefly at the top of the hour. There was a mega strike that hits Germany. It's not one that I've been seeing flashing around on social media. Maybe it's because I was having one of those little breaks that Rick was talking about earlier yesterday. So airports, bus stops, train stations were all at a standstill across Germany on Monday. There's more than 400,000 public transportation employees took part in a 24-hour style strike. I believe that is still going on now. The workers there are demanding pay rises of up to 12% to bring them in line with inflation. 8 major German airports were affected, which was going to impact on roughly 380,000 travelers. They also blocked Europe's third busiest port, or Germany's largest port, in Hamburg. We've also seen in France the protests that we've seen over there, which have been described as mostly socialist or left-leaning protests, and they are impacting on or preventing deliveries being made from oil refineries. And in fact, French energy giant Total has halted production at one of the country's largest refineries as protests continue against the government's plan to raise the retirement age. This refinery produces and puts out into the country 240,000 barrels per day. And you have to wonder, what is the overall outcome, say, of the French oil refineries being shut down or major disruption at airports? It's very good for the climate change narrative. And this is why I actually picked these two stories with your man, the tall bloke, coming on in a minute. He may have some comments on this. I also, yesterday I mentioned a certain Twitter account that seemed to be getting a lot of interest, granted, large following. And I noticed yesterday one of my own tweets, which was just a video of a protest. There was nothing particularly succinct or anything, you know, really sort of wonderful that I had written in this tweet. And yet the number of views that particular tweet was way in excess of what I would expect for the number of retweets and likes that it got. And it made me slightly concerned. I don't know this for certain, but that particular tweet which I shared was being amplified. And I've looked at other protest videos that are being shared. They all seem to have a very large number of impressions. And when I see that, it reminds me back to the early days of COVID, where my tweets were almost certainly being amplified. And I've seen other instances of the past. I'm a man who watches my numbers very carefully. I'm a numbers guy. I like it. I can't help it. And I'm going, are these protest videos being amplified by social media? Is it something that they're trying to rile us up on? Is it something because they want us all out in the streets because it feeds in to an aim that the people at the top have, Rick?
Yeah, you know, first of all, the whole strike business, you talked about the total shutting down the refinery. That's going to affect output. It's going to affect deliveries going to petrol stations. It's going to make queues happen there because people then are going to panic and want to bulk buy petrol, and knock-on effects. The thing with strikes is they're meant to disrupt, they're meant to draw attention to a cause or a grievance. But the thing is, they do have wide-ranging societal effects. So when teachers, doctors, post office delivery workers, whoever, they all get together and they strike together, everybody's affected, whether we like it or not. And I suppose that's the point of it. But we're starting to see people now, and you talk about algorithms and videos. There's a video of some place in England, and there's one of these ULEZ zones with these bollards, and you see a few eco loons, I think you described them as, out policing them, just deciding to police them, stopping cars, saying, thou shalt not pass, you can go thus far and no further, aggravating people. There's one video in particular, and it seems to be everywhere I turn. It was on your feed, it was on somebody else's feed, everybody seems to be, this one in particular. So I do believe, Darren, without a shadow of a doubt, and again, I don't have hard physical evidence, I don't have the source code, I'm not prone to Twitter algorithms, but you can see it, and I can see it, all right? And it, you'd need to be a blind man not to see it, that there are certain things that are amplified at certain times, and it seems to be no matter whose feed you go on, even if you don't follow people, the same thing's popping up here and here. I think it's very engineered, and then you put up something good, like about something positive maybe, no one gives a damn. You put up a picture of a cat falling off a chair, you'll get 5 million views. Easy. You talk up about mental health and stopping suicide, no one gives a shit. No one gives a shit. They want to see a cat falling off the settee, or they want to see someone stabbed to death in a Starbucks. They don't want you to be helped. That's what I'm saying, Darren. Or am I reading too much into this?
Yeah, I've got a friend who's actually got a cat. Big shout out to Nick, if you're listening. She's got a cat called Artemis, and she built a really quite large Twitter account just based on her ginger cat. She just posted pictures of the cat, and she was getting thousands and thousands. She was going, oh my God, I got like 1,000 followers in a week, and I'm just pictures of a cat. But people like cat videos. People like protest videos. We have to keep that in mind. People do like protest videos, and they share them. But there is all sorts of weird and sort of unusual videos that seem to be getting a lot of press on social media. And the one that you just mentioned is doing the rounds today. And actually, just so that I'm being honest, it turns out that video is actually a couple of months old, maybe a bit longer. So it's not something that's just happened. And the irony of those...
It's the concept of what it is. Public policing, like you're talking about your apps earlier on, the Squealer app, the Dauber app, people squealing on their neighbors. Ooh, now we're going to have greeny, self-appointed protectors of the environment, halting traffic and getting right up people's noses as a result of this so-called climate agenda. It's all tied in, isn't it?
Yeah. Yeah, I think that there will be it's like the COVID marshals. Remember when they were trying to introduce the COVID marshals? If the public hadn't pushed back on that, we would have COVID marshals at the top of every street right now. So this is just going, all right, well, we'll try and get the brown shirts in for the 15-minute cities, and then we'll amplify that everywhere. It creates fear, confusion. It will also recruit new people into manning these barriers. And the thing about that particular video of that lady who was being prevented passing through in Oxford was that she was of Polish or of Eastern European, and therefore probably had experience of communism, because this is what it is. We go, oh, what's woke culture? Yeah, it's decay. It's the decay of society wrapped up as an ideology, or you could just call it communism, because that's what it is. When you can't be when you're being prevented from moving from one place to another by people with green hair and haven't eaten anything that was once walking around ever, then that's communism. And this lady was obviously Polish or something similar to that, and probably had a great deal of experience of communism. So the irony, and also the sort of the elements in that video, hey, it could have even been staged just to get it on social media, just for people like me to share it, so that people like Rick can go bloody hell and swear on TNT, because I'm seeing it absolutely everywhere. I hope that all made some sort of sense.
It did. In our little, we understand each other. We have this link, this mental, I don't know what you want to call it. We know what time it is.
And I think
the people who, and by the time, if our listeners don't know our thinking by now, I don't think they ever will. So I think they get the gist of what you're trying to say too. Darren, humongous salute to you. I want to vacate the throne that you're currently sitting on and make way for the tall bloke. That's Sir Darren of Denslow, Janner Extraordinaire. That sounds fantastic, Sir Darren of Denslow. I love it. Love you to bits, mate. Big salute to you. Have a fantastic day. A fantastic day. And we'll talk again tomorrow. And listeners, brace yourselves. Rog Toblog is incoming here on TNT Radio.
TNT Radio's Patrick Henningsen.
The U.S. is now doing a study to see the feasibility of how the U.S. government could possibly guarantee all $18 trillion of bank deposits in the United States of America. This is not good. This is not good. I personally think this is the beginning of the end. It happens when government moves in to secure the interests of the bankers and not the people. You know, you might think that securing $18 trillion of U.S. deposits is the right thing to do and protecting the little guy and all the rest. That's not the little guy. All the heavy lifting is for the 1%. There you go. Any questions, class? Any further questions? That's how you read right through the headlines and do it quick.
Patrick Henningsen on today's News Talk, TNT Radio.
In the past, people thought if you had a mental health problem, you would never feel better. You might meet people who still feel this. Maybe you feel this way about yourself. Mental health is just like physical health. Everybody has it and needs to look after it. If your feelings, thoughts, and reactions are getting in the way of how you want to live, if you feel things aren't right, if you feel like you need help, you can ask for it. We're not going to pretend it's easy. Mental health problems can change your life, and for some, they can be overwhelming. But that's why Mind is here. We're going to face it with you. We'll listen, give support, and fight your corner. To find out more, visit mind.org.uk.
A message brought to you by TNT Radio.
In a world of propaganda, the truth is always a conspiracy. We mandate that the truth be told. Today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
Okay, it's tea time. Tea with a capital T. Tea not being English tea, tea meaning Tattersall. Tattersall time. Big Rog is back in TNT Towers again. It feels like it's been a dog's age since you visited us, but thankfully you're back on air again. How are you, my friend?
I'm fine, thanks, Rick. I'm down here in sunny France today. It's sunny but on strike, you know, so there's nothing going on here. The roads are quiet. Nobody's got any diesel fuel, you know, so I'm sitting here, I'm relaxing, and just really great to be back with you for a further chat, because there's plenty to talk about, isn't there, as always?
Oh, man, there is. Effectively, you are one of my de facto French correspondents now on TNT. You divide your time like a rolling stone between the tax haven, non-tax haven of France, and, of course, some undisclosed location just outside of Leeds. But it's always nice to talk to you. I had a lady on yesterday, Sarah Plumley, who's an amazing woman. She's based in France as well. Hell, you two might even be neighbours. She might be in the adjoining village. She was giving me a report from France as well. For our listeners who maybe don't know who you are, this is Roger Tattersall. You can connect with him on Twitter. Primarily, he frequents that platform quite a bit at Rog, R-O-G, Tallbloke, T-A-L-L-B-L-O-K-E on Twitter, at Rog Tallbloke. And also, he has a WordPress account where he uploads his research, his musings, articles of interest around his particular passion, which is climate and energy. But he's he likes to talk politics, does our Roger as well, which is great. We always like to chew the fat on the old political topics that are going on. But you can check that out at tallbloke.wordpress.com. Now, Roger, you and I, my friend, have been talking for quite some time on TNT Radio, roughly once a month for about a year-ish, okay? So there's a lot of stuff we've talked about and we've hypothesized about, and it's slowly, slowly coming to pass. Two things in particular that come to my mind. I remember way back last April or May, we talked about the ULEZ zones in Glasgow and Oxford, and they were being trialed. Now they're everywhere. Everybody wants to have a 15-minute city. That's number one. Number two is the business of people being ferried into the country and stuck into army barracks, potentially. There was one place that'll never leave my mind, Linton-on-Ouse. You remember that lovely little village up near you, up in the Cotswolds, potentially, I think it was. They were going to bus in 1,200 men in there into a disused RAF station. It didn't quite happen, but it is happening as we speak in Ireland and in other parts of the UK, they are being bussed into RAF barracks and some disused holiday camps as well. So it looks like that one's actually coming to pass. Roger, what do you think about that?
Yeah, that's right, Rick. I've actually been in touch with a couple of my friends in Linton on Ouse this morning, you know, and as you can imagine, they're once again concerned that, you know, in secret, the airbase right next to their village might be included in these plans. They haven't been told anything. But there are a lot of parallels when you look at a place like Linton. It's a few miles north of a big cathedral city, York, and Scampton Air Base, which they are talking about using, just a few miles north of Lincoln, another great cathedral city of England. There isn't a village right next to Scampton Air Base, so maybe could be that the government's kind of learned their lesson from the kickback they got in Linton-on-Ouse, that they need to use a place which doesn't have a local population right next door to the air base as it was there. So, you know, we await developments with interest. But as you say, the government lurches from one kind of crisis management to another with this. You know, they filled up the hotels. Now they're realizing that that's just not a viable option going forward. So they're going to have to find somewhere else for these people to stay while they deal with their applications to stay in our country. So, you know, this is what's happening, and it's going to be a continually developing news story for quite some time to come, I think.
It is. There's a place in Ireland as well. I'm not sure if you're following this business over in Ireland, but it's as bad as, if not much worse than what's happening in England at the minute. And there are many, many communities that are rising up to oppose this. Just over the weekend, there was a barracks in Ireland in a place called Mullingar Barracks. They were talking about ferrying in, they were at the gates, ferrying in at least 90 unknown men into the army barracks in Mullingar. The residents were up in arms. That has been blocked, apparently. So the bus has left the barracks. But the question is, where did it go? Those men have got to be put somewhere. So they've just kicked the can down the road. And I don't want that to sound detrimental, because we're dealing with talking about human beings at the end of the day. But the problem, they've kicked the problem further down the road. So the Linton business, as you've rightly highlighted, maybe the fact that it's had a proximity to a village. And I remember you saying it's a predominantly older demographic there. You said the village shop. I can remember this well. There was an elderly couple wanted to sell the village shop. They had health issues, but because of the stigma of 1,200 odd men coming into a village of 700 predominantly retired English people, it kind of put the appeal factor waned somehow when it come to real estate there, and they were held in limbo for a while. Is that correct?
That is correct, yes. And so, you know, it directly affects the lives of people where they come up with these sudden plans, you know, with no proper consultation, no sort of period during which people can argue the case. They just try to impose this. They just try to spring it on people and hope that there won't be such a big objection and they can get away with it. But I think that people are wise to this now. And I suspect that very rapidly, you know, there will be more pressure groups kicking off around the country near these air bases that they're talking about. And who knows? You know, really, we all know that the only answer to this is to make sure that people arrive by legal means only into our country. But at the moment, you know, though the government's donated another huge sum of money to the French to prevent these crossings of these rubber dinghies, it appears that they're still coming over, and the taxi service is still going out to meet them to bring them on shore. So, you know, a big issue, a big hot potato.
Well, that's another, you know, this has been they've talked about this until they're blue in the face. You know, it started a long time ago. I can remember Priti Patel back in 2016. Oh, we're going to have this sorted by 2017, 2018, 2019, 2021, 2022. All these home secretaries talk the talk, but none of them have walked the walk. Priti Patel was another one then. Suella Braverman, she's been talking a fantastic game about policing the borders. But as per now, the dinghies are still coming. We're talking about Rwanda, but no flights have taken off from that. Rishi Sunak won't even call it a mass illegal immigration problem. He says it's a small boats issue. I don't know about you, but when I was a kid, I used to play in the bath with lots of little small boats, but there wasn't 60 to 100 fighting age men in them jumping all around the bathroom. So the problem is not a small boats problem. The problem is it's not a small problem,
right, for sure. You know.
No, it's not small at all.
100,000 now, you know, 100,000 have arrived, and that's a lot of people. It's the size of a city, isn't it? You know, so
it is.
This has to be addressed, and our government is just fiddling around the edges and not getting anything done, and people are righteously annoyed about it. They're going to get a pasting in May at the local elections to let them know that people are very dissatisfied.
Well, here's the other thing, just before we take a little news break here. The Linden business as well, don't forget, and again, correct me if I'm wrong because I'm going from a memory, but it is not bad considering the amount of knocks I've took to the head and the fact that I'm progressing in years. I believe the RAF base near Linden and Ouse was empty at the time. It was not being used at the time. But the bases that they're using now in Brampton, they're talking about moving personnel and their families out of accommodation to make room for people coming in. Is that correct, or have I misread that one?
I believe so, Rick. You know, I haven't, to be honest, I'm not really clued up on this as much as I should be at the moment. But I think that's right. I only have that by hearsay, not through any solid sources. So I can't say for sure, but I think it is the case that there are, you know, what numbers are involved. I don't know. It might be a small number. It might be a lot. I don't know. But either way, you know, this causes huge disruption to people's lives. And this is very, very ill-considered, in my opinion.
It is. And I'll say an amen to that one too. I agree with you with that 100%. And again, something we brought up last year, but it's manifesting itself more this year than it did last year. It's not going away, Roger. The problem is not going away because it's not being dealt with effectively and efficiently by our so-called governments. We've got to take a little pause right now. We'll be back in about a minute here on TNT. Please don't go away. More of the same.
Great coming. News.
Good news, everyone.
TNT Radio News.
Matt Boylan here with a look at your TNT headlines. A transgender man has been shot dead by police in the US after going on a shooting rampage at an elementary school in Nashville, killing 6 people, including 3 children. Hungary has ratified Finland's application to join NATO after lawmakers voted to support the country's accession to the Western Military Alliance. And Germany ground to a halt on Monday as hundreds of thousands of public transport workers walked off the job in protest of poor pay.
For all the latest community events, rallies, marches, festivals, and fundraisers happening near you, visit the What's On Events calendar on the TNT Radio website at tntradio.live. Stay in touch on TNT Radio.
Okay, I'm in conversation with my old sparring partner, Rog Tallbloke, Roger Tattersall, from England, currently sitting in France in his Dour Upper. That is French for a dilapidated cottage that he's doing a sterling job on.
Le petit ruin.
Le petit ruin. Yes, we're multilingual here on TNT, and we like to bring you news from all around the globe, including Français. Vive le Français. Anyway, where was I? Yes, Rishi Sunak. Let's lower the tone. Let's lower the tone right down to rock bottom and talk about Rishi. Just to close off this issue here, we're talking about things need to be done. We need to stop the influx illegally. So what has been proposed is Rishi Sunak is set to open a safe route for up to 20,000 migrants a year. Ministers are finalising plans that would see thousands of migrants from around the world offered a new home in Britain. Up to 20,000 a year, given a safe and legal route to the UK each year, with Tony Moderate set to force a government climb down. So what's that message? Well, the message is that there's a hell of a lot more than 20,000 a year officially coming through, and it's not safe. And it's not legal, so you can read the reverse to that is there's a current unsafe and illegal route that's being availed off by 100,000 plus people. And the Tories' attempt to address this is, we'll give 20K a safe and legal route. But the question is, the other 80,000, will they let them continue to come in unsafely and illegally, or what are they going to do?
Well, there you go. You've posed the question. You know, and you, I've given you my answer before, Rick, and I'll say it again. The best way to stop these rubber dinghies, you know, to stop people coming into this country illegally is to stop those dinghies setting off from the French coast. And the best people to do that are the French fishermen. I mean, they've just successfully blocked a British ferry from docking in France. So if they can stop the traffic going one way, I'm pretty sure they can stop it going the other too. So, you know, my answer is to say to the French, look, we will start cancelling your fishing licences. For every illegal boat that comes into our waters. So, you know, we've got to get some kind of realistic negotiation going on between us and France to solve this issue. There's got to be some practical ideas here, and that's mine.
Well, do you know what? I like your consistency. You don't veer too far off the line that you hold, which is great. And it applies to all these things that are cropping up and we're seeing about, whether it be low emission zones, whether it be immigration, whether it be the climate crisis. You know, you have your views on it. You have done your research on it, and your position hasn't changed in any of this because I believe you hold the right position. Now, if we can flip from immigration onto what I personally believe could be your favorite subject, which is this whole business of climate change, the climate hoax, call it whatever you like. What's particularly relevant, or what's going on at the minute that really tickles your fancy on that front at this time? Because I know there's a lot here, but I want to let you steer this one.
Well, you know, there's a few issues cropping up at the moment. People are being prevented from driving around their own hometowns by these, you know, huge planter boxes and bollards that have been put across their streets, you know, in the name of improving air quality, and it's all linked to climate and so on and so forth. That's what's happening at the local level. But overarching all of that, behind all of that, you have the UN Intergovernmental Panel on Climate Change, which also has been putting out a very consistent message for the last 30 years, saying that humans are causing dangerous climate change and that we have to, you know, cut our emissions of dangerous greenhouse gases and carbon to tackle this. And so they've just put out their latest assessment report, AR6, and it's full of the usual scare stories and very biased assessment. This is back in the 90s when they started doing this stuff, these assessment reports and a report on the climate, they were more even-handed, and they actually did include some opinions from scientists who, you know, their research had led them to come to different conclusions than the mainstream conclusions. And there were honest scientists who said, actually, we can't model the future of the climate because, you know, it's a chaotic system that gets perturbed in ways that we don't understand. And, you know, it's just not feasible to make long-term predictions. And so, but over the years, you know, it's become more politicized. It's become more driven by the policies that governments pay for. And we've come to a situation where they've declared how certain they are that it's humans who have caused climate change. Although this is now actually no more than a scientific opinion rather than they no longer claim it's based on the data. This is it's if you like an expert opinion, and mm-hmm. so they're ignoring the data that I've been telling you about before, which shows that their own satellites getting their data shows that actually the warming was caused by an increase in sunshine getting into the oceans, not by an increase in carbon dioxide going into the air. They're brushing that under the carpet, or they're trying to explain it away with ad hoc hypotheses to say, oh, well, the reduction in cloud must have been caused by the increase in carbon dioxide. You know, but people who come along and try to justify their falsified theories after the fact with new ad hoc hypotheses are not doing real science. You know, this is the stuff of political campaigns, not the stuff of science. And so this is, you know, they've built their house on shaky foundations here with all this policy that's being imposed on ordinary people trying to get on with their lives in our country, and finding that they can less and less afford the fuel to run their vehicles. They're finding that it's difficult to get around the place because their roads are being blocked in the name of pacifying urban area, you know, suburban areas, so that there's less emissions in those areas. there was a case, I think, yesterday morning of a woman trying to get to work, and she's trying to get between two of these big planter boxes, and there's people there in yellow jackets preventing her. Now, they're not officially there in any official capacity. You know, they haven't got any authority to be there. But nonetheless, they're refusing to get out of the way, and this poor woman can't get to her place of work. It's all gone too far.
I'm looking at that right now. That's an Oxford.
So many people have been brainwashed, you know, to believe that the imminent destruction of the world is all down to human emissions and so on, that they're, you know, taking matters into their own hands and holding these protests and blocking roads and, you know, preventing ambulances, getting dangerously ill people to hospital and so on and so forth. It's all got out of hand. And I think that the government may be very soon realizing that they've actually, you know, inflated something here that there's going to run out of control from them, and it's going to cost them a lot of votes from both sides when they finally have to take measures to straighten things up.
Well, here's the thing, all right? That incident that you're referencing there, it was from Oxford. Darren, who was just on before you, who does Darren Denslow from Plymouth, he and I do a lot of talking together on air. He has posted that video. Apparently, it's from a month or two ago, but it doesn't matter when it was happening. The fact is, it did happen, and it happened in Oxford, and it happened as a result. These people are now self-policing environments because they believe they're on some kind of great moral crusade, some virtual signaling crusade. They've got their high-vis jackets on. They're standing there. One lady's wearing a face mask, and they're just simply blasé blocking the road. They're causing an obstruction. They're not letting this woman pass. I'm afraid to say that I can see more of this happening, and the police don't seem to be too keen to drag these people from the roads. They'd rather you and I drag them from the roads than they'll arrest us for assault and public order offences. That seems to be the way that it goes. There's another article here, actually. I won't go into it, but it's in Bristol. The Bristol Post is reporting that through traffic is to be banned in parts of Bristol for livable neighbourhood scheme. An experimental trial will launch towards the end of this year. Through traffic will be banned in parts of eastern Bristol later this year. The scheme will see motor traffic banned from driving through many parts of Barton Hill, Redfield and St George in a bid to make residential streets even safer. So here we have again, it's for your safety. It's to cut down pollution. It's to help the planet. Let me say this, Roger. An observation that I've made. Britain cannot police its own borders. That's a fact. Britain cannot manage its own National Health Service. That is a fact. Britain cannot take care of its own homeless population. That is a fact. What makes Britain, the audacity of the British government, think that they can somehow influence the climate when they can't even stop people entering the country in dinghies? Is that not complete audacity or what?
Well, it is. And, you know, but they're clever about how they go about this stuff, of course, because what they say is, oh, we're doing this stuff in, and it's the local authorities that they get to do this stuff. It's not, you know, a government. They claim, the local authorities will claim that it's a government directive. Oh, we have to do this to clean up the air to government imposed standards. Turns out when you look at the data, that's a lie, that the air is not bad enough to fall foul of those standards anyway. But the local authority goes ahead and does this stuff because it's being lobbied intensively by, you know, international groups like Greenpeace and the WAF and so on. They want to appear like they're the great and the good and that they're achieving things beyond merely administrating their small town and getting on with the day job, I think what we'd call it. But they're imposing these things in the name of air quality. Rather than saying, oh, it's, you know, emissions of carbon dioxide, which is a colourless, traceless trace gas, you know, is colourless, odourless, and it's absolutely essential to life on Earth. So they've stopped trying to demonise that so much, but now they're demonising, but they call it carbon. So it still kind of links to that carbon dioxide idea, but then it's making people think of soot and dirty emissions and particles that might, you know, harm their health. But all these arguments about health are just statistical chimeras. You know, they by manipulating some statistics, they can try and claim that people's lives have been shortened by some very short amount of time by the particulates that they breathe coming from emissions from vehicles and so on. But there's two points about that. One, nobody ever gets, you know, died from bad air quality on their death certificate, because that, as I say, this is just a statistical manipulation that allows them to say, oh, it's killed this many people, you know, but it hasn't. It's what they claim is it's shortened a lot of people's lives by, you know, maybe 3 months. And when they multiply that up, you know, divide the average lifespan into it, they can come up with a number of people who've been killed by it. And it's a complete lie. You know, it's just a complete lie. But they want to impose these things in local areas to raise money for the town by fining people for falling foul of these crazy regulations about not being able to travel around. And in Oxford, you know, they've been pushing this the furthest, and it now turns out they've been hiding a lot of data, which shows that it'll actually increase the amount of traffic in a lot of rat runs through small back streets, rather than cut it down. And so, you know, and they've hidden that. I think it was 8 out of 19 areas they modelled, there would actually be an increase in traffic, not a decrease. You know, so you know, this is the case in Bradford as well. You know, they've hidden the data on the measurements they took of air quality that show that they don't actually fall foul of the government requirements at all. And so, you know, we're soon going to see a big backlash against this, and I suspect citizen groups setting up cadres of candidates under the name, you know, resist climate, clamp down, you know, mm-hmm. these kind of independent groups of candidates who will sweep these councils from power, you know, in the next few years, because people will get so fed up of being dictated to in this ridiculous way.
Yeah, because there is no logic or rhyme or reason behind it. It's just lunacy that's being foisted upon us, and it's resulting in a lot of frustration and a lot of kickback. We'll look at some of the kickback maybe in a minute. We've got to take a quick ad break, but when we do, people do seem to have had enough. People are refusing to pay fines in the tens of thousands in Birmingham for congestion charges. We're seeing bags for life from Sainsbury's and Tesco's popping up over these ULEZ monitoring cameras everywhere. We're seeing these planters being bulldozed out of the way or set on fire. Hell's bells, rebellion left, right and centre. People, I think, have had a skinful, as you say. So what can we see as a result of that? We'll discuss that in a minute or two when we come back here on TNT. Please don't go away.
It's back. A new UN climate report warns of doomsday unless we give the UN more power and go full Marxist. Oh no, haven't we heard this before?
From Washington, D.C., this is the Morano Minute with your host, TNT Radio's Mark Morano.
Fire, brimstone, ticking climate time bombs once again. The new UN IPCC climate report is out, warning about a, quote, survival guide to humanity. Climatologists are weighing in. Dr. Judith Curry has called the report pure politics, weakly justified, politicized. MIT climate scientist Dr. Richard Lindzen says we should, quote, do nothing about global warming, and instead says the United Nations is exploiting people's ignorance to promote fear. Well said. Remember, throughout human history, the ruling class has always tried to come up with reasons why the rest of us can't be free and why we should allow them to rule over us. Climate is their latest excuse. This is Mark Morano for the Morano Minute on TNT Radio.
How about some good news? There is a cure for hepatitis C. A simple blood test will tell you whether or not you have hepatitis C. More than 9 out of 10 people who receive highly effective treatment are cured and less likely to develop liver cancer or liver complications. One little blood test and you'll have done your part to help eliminate hepatitis C for good. Get tested, get treated, get cured. Visit hep.org for more information.
Locked and Loaded with Rick Mott.
Half talk show, half weird daycare. I love it.
TNT Radio.
Half talk show, half weird daycare. I don't know if you're offended or encouraged by that statement, Roger Tattersall, but it's kind of accurate. You've got to admit, we do get some high octane people on here. In fact, I'm referencing myself, all joking aside. We've got 12 minutes left. I want to look at your Twitter feed, actually, because I want to squeeze some of the stuff. It made me chuckle this morning in a good way, some of the things that you've highlighted and sort of poured a little bit of cold water on them. One was a post from the World Wildlife Foundation telling us about penguins. Penguins are captivating and inquisitive and incredibly vulnerable to threats like climate change, the old penguins at risk. Adopt a penguin with WWF from £3 a month and help fund projects to monitor penguins and their movements and see how they're being affected by climate change. So the begging bowl is out, £3 a month, £36 a year, £360 over 10 years to sponsor a penguin, courtesy of the WWF, to monitor climate control. And what you said was, in response to that, let me save you some cash, folks. A change in average Arctic coastal temperature from minus 10 to minus 9 does not make all the ice melt. That's a fairly solid statement that you made, but some people don't seem to get that concept, do they? They'd rather spend £36 a year sponsoring a penguin, which of course doesn't go into the coffers of the WWF's managing director to fund his car and his house in Mayfair, no doubt.
Well, you don't have to be a PhD scientist to know what temperature water melts at. You know, ice melts at back into water, do you, Rick? You know, everybody knows this is north centigrade. Yeah, up on top of the central plateau of Antarctica, the average annual temperature is about minus 50 centigrade. Minus 50. Okay, this stuff isn't melting anytime soon. It's not going to be causing a huge sea level rise or anything like that. And nor is Greenland, which at the moment has been accumulating mass, and Antarctica accumulating mass, not losing it. So the snowfall that's falling there isn't melting. The reason we know this actually is interesting. The Earth is spinning faster than it used to, right? And this is perplexing scientists. The reason it's perplexing them is because it means that there's less water near the equator, which can only mean there's more water near the poles. And the only way that can happen is when it falls on the land near the poles in the form of snow. And this is perplexing the scientists because, you know, they believed that we were going to see the melting Arctic and the poor little penguins having to swim around all day long instead of having anything to stand on, like a big continent. And this just shows that the way they've extrapolated their own data, the way they've tried to measure sea level from satellites and so on, they had to tilt that data to get what they thought the sea level rise should be, around 3 millimeters a year. In fact, it's hardly rising at all, and you know, it's quite likely that we'll actually see some reversals in that, and it might actually fall a bit. Because, you know, we know that if the Earth's spinning faster, it's because there's more mass near the center of the axis of spin. It's like the old thing with the figure skater. You see the figure skater on ice, and she, you know, starts spinning around with their arms out, and then as they pull their arms into their body, they spin faster. Well, it's just like that with the Earth, right? So it shows us that there's more mass near the axis of spin. That means there's actually more ice and snow near the poles, not less. And so, you know, the whole thing is upside down, on its head, inside out. You know, whatever they've told you about climate, it's the opposite.
You're maybe wondering, why is he laughing at me? I'm loving what you're saying, but I know there's a lot of flat earthers out there that are going to be chewing their knuckles down at the talk about this whole business of a spinning globe. But listen, it's one of these topics, right? One of these topics. If the Earth's a pyramid or shaped like a sausage roll or shaped like a plate of beans on toast, or it's flat or round or upside down and back to front, the fact of the matter is, what all this boils down to is there is a lie being perpetrated on us in the climate form, right? And it's resulting in a lot of stress and aggravation, and people are going to suffer not just mentally or physically, but they're also going to suffer financially, because there's other things that are being brought in. Sadiq Khan's talking about extending the clean zone around around London, where it could be costing up to $12.50 a day to drive a car into London. We're seeing eco-terror attacks happening at the minute. And this is something else, actually, that I want to bring up with you. Darren Denslow, who was just on before you, he dipped his toe in the old political cesspit about 2 or 3 years ago. He tried to run as an independent councillor in Plymouth. Now, he wasn't successful at the time, and he kind of hung up his political boots, but he's so incensed about what's happening in Plymouth at the moment with regards to the, I don't know if you're aware, I'm sure you are, they felled about 150 trees under cover of night in the middle of Plymouth in Armada Way, allegedly to make room for bicycle lanes to help the environment. They've done a risk-benefit analysis or a cost-benefit analysis. They reckon it's better for the planet to get rid of those 150 trees. He is incensed. So he is running again. He's dusting off his canvassing shoes, and he's running again as an independent in Plymouth. And I'm just sharing that because... Yes, exactly, because you have been very vocal and encouraging of people to say, okay, it is what it is, the political system, the red and blue and the Labour and the Tories and the North-South divide. Listen, it's there, okay? A lot of people have this fantasy that we're going to just wipe the slate clean and start up a new system. It's in place at the minute. And what he's encouraging is, what Darren's encouraging is, run as an independent. Do not vote for a major political party. Do not vote for them at all. If you must, back an independent candidate that you know and trust. And this has actually spurred him, Roger, you'll be glad to hear, I'm sure, into actually taking affirmative action to run as an independent in Plymouth. What do you think about that?
Yeah, well, I've been saying this for some time, that when people realize what's going on, they will actually, what you need to do is get together with a group of independents, mm-hmm. and form a group, because then you can actually have a party description on the ballot paper rather than just saying Darren independent. It'll say Darren campaign against climate lockdown, because you've actually got a description for your little party that you've set up.
Yeah.
So it's ever so important to do that. Get together with like-minded candidates from other parts of your town or city. Form a small party. It doesn't cost very much to register with the Electoral Commission. Register a party name, and then you can have that party name on the ballot paper, and people go, I'm going to vote for that because I've had enough of this stuff about having to pay £12.50 to drive around my own local area and all these kind of crazy impositions that are being thrown on us. And the whole energy situation, the price of energy bills for people this winter, and that was a mild winter, and we got, £400 thrown at us as a sweetener by the government. But next winter, if it's a much worse winter and we're not getting that extra assistance and the prices have increased twice again throughout this year, then it's going to be absolute mayhem. People will be dying of hypothermia in thousands, particularly old vulnerable people. And I always give a shout out to them to say, please go and check on your elderly neighbours to make sure they're okay. If necessary, invite them into somewhere warmer. If they can't afford to heat their own home, give them the help they need. Because we have a very uncaring government, and we have a cult which doesn't care how many people die of the cold, as long as its aims are achieved. And in fact, reducing population is one of the aims. So, we have to... We have to get together as ordinary citizens and say no to this nonsense and put up our own candidates and kick these fools out of our local authorities. And once we've gained some local authorities, we'll gain a lot of MPs in Parliament as well.
The energy price business as well. I got a letter a few days ago from my provider in Northern Ireland, PowerNI. They said from the 1st of April, your energy prices are going up by another 14.1%. They've been hiked and hiked, but they've been subsidied by the government. That £400 that you talk about, we actually got a £600 payment here. Everybody in the country got it. You just went to the post office, you showed your ID, and they paid you cash, £600 cash, just straight over the counter. But you could use it for whatever you wanted. So there was nothing to say that it was allocated as a credit to your energy account. They literally paid it in cash or directly into a nominated bank account of your choice.
And that's very interesting, Rick. I wonder why that is. So that's in Northern Ireland, yeah? But in England, yes. It was... It has gone direct to the energy companies who take it off your bill each month.
Not here. And, not here.
So I wonder not why here. This is another demonstration that Northern Ireland's being treated differently to the rest of the UK. You know, and this is a hangover from this new
we
Brexit.
We got more money. We got 600 quid that, instead of four. You only got four.
And you also got it in cash. It's remarkable, isn't it? And another symptom of the way that Northern Ireland's being treated differently to the rest of the UK, a real issue, I think.
That would be a good one to talk about with you actually at another time. It's not something we've ever really covered before about the differentiation due to Northern Ireland and Brexit and one thing and another. But as per now, unfortunately, we're going to have to pause this conversation because, as you rightly know, time, my friend, is our great enemy here on TNT Radio when it comes to having these discussions. So in case I get cut off by the news, just to reiterate where people can hook up with you, Mr. Roger Tattersall, you can check him out on Twitter. He's at Rog Tallbloke, ROGTALLBLOKE on Twitter. And also, please check out his WordPress account, which is tallbloke.wordpress.com. When are you planning? We've only got a few seconds left. When are you coming back to Blighty again?
Oh, in a couple of weeks' time, Rick. Yeah, I'll be back again. We've got more to do in England. We just flit around, you know, as much as we can, keep life entertaining. And keep progressing our project over here with Le Petit Ruin, which is looking pretty good now, actually.
May you continue to improve on that little doer-upper, and maybe when you're back in England again in a few weeks' time or in a month's time, I'll give you a shout and we can go into some other details then. But in the meantime, Roger.
Always a pleasure to come back and talk to you, Rick. Thank you.
Likewise, my friend. Always nice to see you. Have a lovely day in France. Vive la Révolution! Don't get arrested on me, Roger. I need you on the radio. So that's Roger Tattersall.
I'll be here, Rick.
Good man. I'm over and out, and I believe James Freeman is incoming, so please don't go away. I'll be back again tomorrow.